So in true fashion over here, we usually start off with a joke. So I'll try to start off with a joke. I might get some fan mail for this, so please bear with me. But, so a wife said to her husband, "I have a bag full of used clothing I'd like to donate." And the husband said, "Why not just throw it in the trash? It's easier." And the wife said, "But there are poor, starving people who can't really use these clothes." And the husband goes, "Honey, anyone who fits into your clothes isn't starving." The husband is now recovering from a head injury. You guys want to hear another one? I'll try this one, maybe. An old preacher was dying, and so he sent a message for his banker and his lawyer, both church members, to come to his home. When they arrived, they were ushered to his home, to his bedroom. And they entered the bedroom. The preacher held out his hands and motioned for them to sit on each side of his bed. The preacher held their hands, sighed contentedly, smiled, and stared at the ceiling. For a time, no one said anything. Both the banker and lawyer were touched and flattered that the preacher asked them to join him during his final moments, but they were also puzzled. See, the preacher had never given them any indication that he liked them. They both remembered all his sermons about greed and covetousness, and that always made him squirm in their seats. So finally, the banker asked, "Preacher, why did you ask us to come?" The old preacher gathered up his strength and said weakly, "Jesus died between two thieves, and that's how I want to go." Well, if you have your Bible today, can you please turn to Deuteronomy 4? I want to share with you something a little bit about being parents to Eliana, if that's okay. For those of you that have not met, and as Pastor Paul had mentioned, you know, I'm married to Nicolette Liu, who's our women's ministry director called Sisters. They meet on the third Saturday of every other month. So March they met, so the next one will be in May. And together we have our 21-year-old daughter now, Eliana. She's our first child, so naturally we're spoiling her as much as we can. And one of the things that I really like doing with Eliana is our bedtime routine. As a first-time parent, we're not doing the whole sleep training thing yet, but we're getting enough rest. I only need three hours of rest each night, so I think we're okay. And the way I see it, is that I really only have 4 years, the first 4 years with her. After that, she's probably not gonna wanna do anything with me. So I'm gonna soak it up as much as I can, all right? So if we say we're busy as a couple, it's most likely true. We do a lot, you know, but most of the time it's because we wanna be with our daughter. But anyways, we have this bedtime routine. And so where Eliana will go to sleep in her toddler bed in her room, and then right about midnight, she'll wake up and start screaming, and then we'll take her into our bed. But when she sleeps on a toddler bed, in order for her to sleep, she has to cuddle with one of us. And so she'll get dressed, she'll brush her teeth, and we'll walk her to a bed. She'll turn on her sound machine. There's a little fox that lights up. She'll turn that on. And then she climbs into bed and basically sits right in the middle of her toddler bed. And then she'll pick up, right now it's her favorite pet is a Minnie Mouse doll. So she'll pick that up and she starts slamming on her bed, motioning for one of us. Typically, it's me. She'll motion for me to come into bed with her. And, of course, the bed being small, I have to say, well, if you want me to cuddle with you, you'll have to move so I can fit in there. Sometimes she'll move, and sometimes she doesn't. And when she doesn't, you might hear her now. She has a famous way of saying no. She'll go, "No." And so she'll sometimes just go, "No." And I got to budge her so that we play this little game of trying to move her to scooter to the corner so I can go in the toddler bed with her. But that's what our bedtime routine looks like. We'll sing our goodnight song, we'll pray and give thanks to God for the day, and we turn the lights off, and she goes to sleep. With me, it takes about 30 minutes for her to go to sleep, but Nicolette is about 10 minutes, so I usually ask, like, what's going on? Now, for you with multiple children, I can totally see the appeal of sleep training, so that way you can just say, okay, it's time for bed, they all go to bed and sleep, right? Great. But for me, I love spending that time with my daughter. As she goes to sleep and I'm cuddling with her. As she makes it known that she wants to cuddle in bed so loud and clear, I take it as a way of saying she doesn't want anything else than either one of us to be close to her as she falls asleep. Now, again, she sleeps in a toddler bed, so it's tiny for a human to be for an adult to be cuddling with her. And so she physically has to make room for us to be in that toddler bed with her. And that leads me to wonder, as I was prepping for this message, was how many of us actually want to take the time to be with God and make room for Him, but we don't make room for Him to deliver on His promise. So what does this got to do with Deuteronomy 4? Well, if you're following the church's Bible reading plan for the year, you would be reading Deuteronomy 4 today, all right, and Deuteronomy 5. But more importantly, this is a chapter that starts where Moses starts detailing the statutes and judgments that the children of Israel need to follow in order before they make it into the promised land. It's a recounting of it. It's a chapter that starts about how God wants them to live a certain life that would make their life abundant. Yes. And in order to do that, right, they have to make room for God's law over their lives and their lifestyle. Now, there are many times in my personal life where I might be uncomfortable, I might be stuck, I might be emotional or physical pain. I'll find myself really stressed out, overwhelmed, without peace, worried or unhappy, and sometimes I'll lash out at people. But instead of reaching out to God, who's always available to me, and I know that, I admit there are many times where I would actually just settle into suffering through what I'm going through. I'll settle for the anxiety in my head. How many of us know what I'm talking about? How many of us feel the same way? All right, thank you. We know God is our provider and healer, but we don't actually allow Him that opportunity to show Himself and essentially remind us of His faithfulness to us. You can write this down. Psalm 145, verse 18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." Or even Psalm 46, verse 1, it's not up there. Says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble." Do you believe these passages? I do. But yet, time and time again, I would go about my life without making room for God to take over my situation. Anyone else do the same thing? Yeah. See, here's a very honest truth for us pastors is I don't need to know each and every one of you intimately to know that you're going through something right now. It could be a health problem, it could be a financial problem, it could be a family issue, relational things, or it could even be about your faith with God, but you are definitely going through something, no doubt about that. But whatever it is that you're going through, you are not alone, no matter how much you tell yourself you are. And God just wants to remind you that He is there, and you just need to make room for Him to show Himself to you and be the champion in your situation. But how do you do that? Well, let's read Deuteronomy 4, starting from verse 1, and I'll read to verse 6. And it says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgment which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all the statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." Heavenly Father, I welcome you right now, Lord, into our gathering, into our midst. Will you let your Spirit guide my words, guide my mouth, guide my speech, Lord? Let everyone here be receptive to your teaching. Let each one of us be encouraged, Lord, by your presence this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can you highlight the first part in the first verse? Listen to the statutes. So my first point is we make room for God by listening. In Deuteronomy 4 verse 1, it says, in order to live and to possess what God is giving you, you have to first what? First listen. Listen to what? To God's statutes and judgments, laws, right? Rules. It doesn't say listen to TikTok. It doesn't say listen to a popular opinion. It doesn't say listen to the Bright Report. It doesn't say listen to your friend. It doesn't even say listen to your own understanding. It says listen to God's laws and rules. Isaiah 55, 2, verse 2 and 3 says, listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Yeah. It is very clear, right? Listen to him. There's no simpler way to make room for God. The problem with us, with many of us, is that though we may read God's word, we're not feeding on God. We're more intent on mastering the text, finding out its precise meaning, gathering theories and theologies so that we can talk more intelligently about God. Jesus in his day called out the Bible students around him when he said in John 5, verse 39, 40, he says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. See, the scholars who read the Bible, they may read the Bible, but they didn't listen to what God was trying to tell to them. They never heard his voice, in John 5, verse 37. Now, God is very articulate. He's very precise. And he will speak to us through his word. We just need to take a conscious desire, to engage him in a personal way and meditate on his words until his thoughts begin to take shape in our mind. Point number two I want to bring up is that we make room for God by doing his word. So let's read verse 1 again. It says, now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgment which I teach you to observe. In other words, to do. And then in verse 5 and 6, it says again, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sights of the people who will hear all the statutes and say, surely this is a great nation and a wise and understanding people. See, again, very simple, like my point one. We make room for God by actively doing his word. In other words, doing his will. It's one thing to actively listen to God. That's great if you're already doing that. But you also need to then do what he's telling you to do. What is that saying? In one ear and out the other? Right? That's not what we want. Right? We want it to be in one ear and stay in one ear and keep it in our minds and then do it. Right? You hear me sometimes with Eliana when she's not really listening to me. I would say, can we put on our listening ear so that she'll then do what I'm asking? In Matthew 5, verse 16, it says, Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. How do you let your light shine? By doing what? God's laws and rules, right? Yes. Now, if you were to read Deuteronomy 4 and 5, you probably notice a good chunk of it. Basically, it's all rules, laws, expectations, and standards that Moses is reminding the people of Israel about. And so, understandably so, that might create some anxiety and fear for those that read it. Some might call it a call to perfection. Some of you might see this as an imposition on a relationship that should be liberating. But we need to understand that these statutes and judgments represent a gracious invitation into the relationship with God. These are actually teachings given through patient education to form the character of God's people, us. The collection of these statutes and judgments represent years of wisdom communicated to us so that we may learn from them and benefit from this experience of previous generations so that we can live a higher quality of life. How can we say we're God's people, Christians, if we do not do God's instructions. Matthew 7, verse 24 says, "Now, therefore, whoever who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Verse 25 says, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So we have to do what he says to represent his heart. My last point, point number three, we make room for God by seeking him. Seeking God means seeking his presence. Presence is a common translation in the Hebrew word face. Literally, we have to seek his face. We know God is omnipresent and therefore always near everything and everyone. But when we become neglectful of God and give him no thought and do not put any trust in him, there will be a sense that we are far from him. Psalm 105 verse 4 says, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore." Highlight evermore, meaning always. Not just when you need him, not just once a week on a Sunday, but evermore. Every day. Listening to God and doing his will is not possible. Let me say that again. My first point, my second point, is not possible if we do not seek God first. No matter what we do, if we do not seek him first, how are we to hear from him and do what he wants us to do, right? James 4, verse 8 says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." Let it be a reminder for all of us to continually to seek God. The Bible says it is a setting of the mind and heart on God when we seek him. It is the conscious fixing or focusing of our mind's attention and our heart's affection towards God. The setting of the mind is the opposite of mental coasting. It is the conscious choice to direct our heart towards God. Now, I don't know about you ladies, but I hear us men have a very unique and special power. I know I have it because I've been caught using it. And it's called the power of the nothing box. It's where I will consciously choose to go to in this empty space in my head and just do nothing. Even when there's complete chaos in front of me, I will just, there could be a TV playing or whatnot. My wife will look at me and say, "What are you thinking?" "Absolutely nothing." And then she goes, "I don't believe you. Why don't you talk to me?" Ever had that? Oh, yeah. Right? Us men, we have that special power. But it's the complete opposite of what we're supposed to be doing, okay? It is very dangerous if you let your mind wander and let other things enter your mind. So continually to seek God. The rest of Deuteronomy from verses 15 to 31 is about the repercussions if you stop seeking God and you start committing idolatry. But then you come down to verse 29, and I want you to see that. It will say, "You will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." When you realize you're far from him and you seek him, you will find him. It is an assurance, it is a certainty. If we seek him with all our heart and soul, we will find him. Does not matter what our present condition is, does not matter how far we have been far removed away from God or disobeyed him, it doesn't matter what we've done. If we seek him with all our heart and soul, and we seek him earnestly, we will find him. As I welcome the band up, I just want to take this time for us to really respond to God and make room for him. So if I could have the lights off. Now I'm very aware that this is a very simple message, a really short one too, but it's by design. It's because I really want us to take the time. Who remembers the last time I preached here? It's quite a while. It was on the topic of preparation. And so many times since then, I know personally, I've come to church through these doors not prepared to make room for God, not prepared to let Him be the person in front of me. And so right now, can we just take that time to make room for Him? Can we just begin decluttering our life so that we can be more Christ-centered? Every head bow, every eyes closed. I believe that the Lord is just at the door right now, knocking, ready to come in and be in fellowship with anyone here or those joining us online, ready to just be in that fellowship, be in that communion. If you just allow Him, if you just make space for Him, will you make room for Him right now? Will you make room for Him when you leave these doors? Some of you may have been coming to church for a very regular basis, but you never took that step of faith, of allowing God to enter your space, into your home. You're clinging so tightly to the life that you know now, no matter how much it hurts, but you cling on to it because you know what it is and you're okay in accepting it. But I'm here just to tell you, just to remind you, that there is an answer to that, and that is God. There is an answer to that pain, to that anxiety. There is answer to that turmoil, and that is God. And so if that's you today, will you raise your hand for me? Thank you. Thank you. If you want to make room for God today, will you raise that hand for me, please? Thank you. No one's watching. I just want to know so that I can actively keep you in mind as we pray this. And for the sake of everyone, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we welcome You. We thank You that You want to be with us. We thank You that You want to have that fellowship with us. We open up ourselves to You. We want to make room for You. And we welcome You, Lord. We welcome You into our space. We welcome You into our heart. We welcome You into our life. Speak to me, Lord, that I may hear You and hear You loud and clear. That I will do what You have told me. And that I'll continue to seek after Your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.